power of the time. And I'm still William Cooper, and there's still a lot of people out there totally, completely confused. getting a lot of emails. Where did you go? We turned into the hour of the time, and it wasn't there anymore. Oh, poor sheeple. My little lamb is lost. Gee, we announced that we were going to drop the first hour and go to a one-hour format, keeping the second hour. And so many people just got totally and completely lost. Apparently they weren't listening when we made the announcements over several days. And apparently they have yet to figure out how to find out what the hour of the time is. But gee, we have one of the largest websites on the internet, and the time is right there displayed for all to see. Then there's WBCQ. They have a website, and you can call them on the telephone and talk to whoever's there. And they'll be happy to tell you. Then somebody told me that WBCQ hadn't changed its website yet, still has the old time, but gee, that doesn't seem like some experiment. To check in an hour later that you're able to drop the first hour because you know it. On many occasions that if you just didn't have enough money, you would have to do that, then that's what you have to do. And so the lambs are lost. Somebody, if you see some sheep running around looking, you know, steer them in the right direction, please. Please, oh, please. Well, you know, we sent our broken television transmitter into the factory, and I really had anticipated that they would say that it was our fault. And password to buy another one, but they didn't. Out of the blue, yesterday, UPS delivered a package. When I opened it up, guess what? They sent us a brand new transmitter. We exchanged for the old one. Now, quite honestly, I have no idea what happened to the old one, except that we were pretty sure it was a damaged defective board. And I guess that's what it turned out to be. So I want to thank Ramsey Electronics for doing that for us, and whoever was responsible for making the decision, we really appreciate it. And we ordered a chassis kit so that we can make sure that the board, nothing happens to the board. We're not even going to touch the board till we get the chassis kit. We're going to attach the board firmly inside the chassis kit and then solder everything to the connections for plug-ins instead of what we did the first time directly to the board. And so hopefully we can make sure that nothing happens this time. Maybe in a couple of weeks we'll be coming to television around Valley once again. We also have our TV transmitting antenna, our preamp for the antenna, all kinds of goodies. We're ready to go. And it's going to be great fun. It's going to take even more of my time than I don't even have to begin with. I don't know how I'm going to do all this, but I'm going to do it. And we're branching out into a lot of other things, folks. Beginning Monday, make sure that you're listening. Make sure that you're listening. Because I'm going to start telling you things that you need to know that I've never told you before. I know that you're all tired of increasing taxes and government regulations and you'd like to get out from under them. I'm going to show you how. I know that you're earning more, many of you, more than even your parents made. You're earning more in 1 year than they made in several years. But guess what? You're keeping less. And you're actually not as lucky as your parents were. Because going out the doors for fees and taxes and hidden taxes and more taxes and taxes on top of taxes and outright thievery. Well, I'm going to show you how to get out from under that guilt. I know that many of you are concerned about a potential lawsuit or creditor action that could just wipe you out completely. And I'm going to show you how to protect your assets so that can't happen. How many of you have seen someone you know financially ruined by a divorce settlement or something else of that nature. I'm going to show you how to protect yourself against that eventuality. Are you concerned about the loss of privacy and confidentiality in your personal and business affairs? Well, you should be. You should be. Because what you used to be able to keep private, you just can't do it anymore unless you practice what I'm going to teach you beginning next week. I'm going to teach you how to experience personal and financial freedom beyond your wildest dreams. And it's all going to happen right here on the Hour of the Time. I'm going to teach you that I never would do before. I'm going to show you how to make your assets grow without fear of lawsuits, creditors, ex-spouses, or debt-ridden government stealing what is rightfully yours under that mask bandit called the income tax. So spread the word. Make sure that anybody who's interested in these things is sitting in front of their radio or your radio or somebody's radio beginning Monday night. And for the first time, we have a report available that you can order, that you can study, that explains all of these things to you in clear language that anybody can understand. If you want to order that report, you can do it for $50. $50, we'll send it right out to you. Pauline is just about caught up with all the orders. It's incredible. The only big orders we have left are, I guess, 20 orders for a Mystery Babylon series. And so I've ordered the tapes. She's got all the rest of them out. And she got most of the Mystery Babylon series orders out. We still have 20 left to fill. That's going to take almost 900 tapes. So I've ordered those tapes. As soon as they come in, she'll start on those. That will finish it up. That will finish it up, folks. And Ron, the call today, yours on order tape will go out tomorrow morning. And I am so thankful that Pauline consented to come up here and do this. On top of all of the other things she has to do, take care of all of her children, and she's a nurse. And so we're helping each other. She needed some extra money, and we needed somebody to do this really bad. Because as hard as I tried with everything that I was doing, it just wasn't going very fast, I got to tell you. We're going to be doing a lot of things. A lot of things. If you want to order this report on what I'm going to start teaching you next week, you can order for $50. It's $50. Send it in the form of cash or a blank money order to the Hour of the Time, in care of 101.1 M. P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. That's the Hour of the Time, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. I guarantee you that you're going to sit up and take notice. You'll learn a lot that you've never known before. And it'll help set you free. Don't forget, that same address is good for ordering the scanners. I told you I was going to get the name of the House resolution. what wants to ban scanners. And if I didn't get time to do that today, I will have that for you Monday night. Monday night. Well, we're going to open the phones. If any of you know the number of that, the HR number of that particular piece of legislation, you can call in tonight and give it to us if you know what it is. Some of you radio buffs out there probably do. They want to ban all scanners. Well, they can't make an ex post facto law, so if you already own a scanner, you get granddaddied in, you'll have one. But you better do it quick, just in case they pass it. It looks like it might pass the House. I don't know what will happen in the Senate. So, I guess I ought to play this for, because of how slow the orders went on our annual sale. You see, you guys didn't know that there was nobody up there but just me. So we weren't getting around like we normally do. Normally we had a whole family working on it. Not anymore. It's just me. And recently, me and Pauline. And Pauline is taking care of the orders. And she is pumping them out like crazy. So, I want to apologize to everybody who probably feels that you're getting up really late. Well, it was unavoidable. There's absolutely nothing we could do. And we had some equipment problems also, as you know. The heads on the tape duplicator burn out. And we could only do one video tape at a time until we got a new duplication system. So now we're going gangbusters. From now on, everything that you order is going to go out of here really quick. But, I've heard all my life from the best women that I've ever known that being slow is not all that bad.
Who would cross the line?
Just a little advice to the wise there. Little advice to the wise. Pay attention, guys. Listen to that. We'll open the phones now, 520-333-4578. Be taking your calls for the rest of the hour. This is going to be the last time you're going to get the call for a while, because next week I'm going to be teaching you all week long very, very important lessons, things that I and many others I've learned through trial and error over many years. And you're not obligated to take any of my advice whatsoever. But should you take it, I think you'll find things in your life will immediately begin to improve. The number is 520-333-4578. You can talk about anything that you want to. What's going on out there? I've been busy around here. Pauline and I and Doyle and everybody else, Tim, that's been helping out. We've been like a bunch of hornets around building a nest and trying to keep the little larva fed. Oh, there's not any larva around here anymore, unfortunately. Actually trying to pump out the things that you guys have ordered. I don't know what's been going on. I really don't. And if you've been visiting the website, you see that, forgot to give you this piece of news. Remember when they arrested the Unabomber, Theodore Kaczynski? I told you that the man was a victim of a mind control operation. I told you then that he was. Exhibits all the symptoms, there's no doubt about it. Fred Kaczynski was part of something that he was not in control of. Well, just recently, in the Los Angeles Times, they confirmed my research that Ted Kaczynski was, in fact, a victim of a mind control operation that he actually volunteered for at Harvard back in the late 50s, early 60s. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Bill, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Brother Stan used to have, and I'm not a big Brother Stan fan, but I know he used to have a guy that broadcast with him named Serge Menez or something like that. And this is back when Brother Stan, I think, was actually on the right side when he was exposing the Masons. Things that he really doesn't do too much anymore. And this Serge Menez eventually went up to Canada, supposedly, to investigate this something Blue Line project where they're trying to beam holograms into the air, UFOs or whatever. And he ended up dying under mysterious circumstances, and I wondered if he knew anything about that.
I never heard of the guy. Don't know anything about him. And that's all I can tell you. Never even heard of it.
Never even heard of him, huh? Because this guy went up to Canada, and he exposed the Masons for, all sorts of things. And he and Brother Stair would go at it, much like you do, exposing these people for what they are. And then suddenly he was up in Canada, investigating this so-called Blue Line project or Blue Beam project, and he ends up dying under mysterious circumstances and being cremated.
Let me ask you this. How do you know that he went to Canada? How do you know that he died, and how do you know he was cremated?
I heard it through an actual book and information.
That's what I thought. That's the typical rumor mill stuff.
Well, you don't think it's Bible, and he's nowhere near Brother Stair anymore, I know that.
Let me tell you what I think. If I can't actually verify things as being fact, I don't pay any attention to them. Unless I think it warrants an investigation. and I'll investigate it until I find out it's either fact or it's a lie or it's partly fact and partly lie or whatever it is. When I get to the truth, I don't pass on wrong.
I don't know where this gentleman was getting his information from. That's true, but I just find it kind of ironic that something like that, a scenario like that developed.
Well, you see, you don't know if it developed or not.
Brother Stair has no information on where Serge Menez is. I mean, he's dead, period.
How do you know he's dead?
But Brother Stair has emailed me telling me so.
How do you know Brother Stair is telling me the truth?
I don't know.
Well, see, you can't believe all this stuff. You have to learn how to cut through the bullshit and get to the truth. You can't believe rumors, and that's what you're believing. You're believing that a rumor is fact when you don't know.
All right, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. You know, I don't know anything about this guy, Serge Menendez. Never heard of him. And that's the truth. I don't know anything about it. So I can't tell you what happened to him, but I can tell you this. Don't believe the rumors unless you can verify that they're true, with facts. Like a real certified copy of the birth certificate. Like a real certified copy of a statement from the head of a mortuary who will swear on their oath that he cremated the guy. Okay? That kind of stuff. If you can't do that, then you're just passing on rumor. And rumor doesn't help anybody. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Bill, yes. Recently I've heard some stories that some of these states, most of the states, are just flush with money to the tune of trillions of dollars. Have you heard that?
I've heard those kinds of things, yes.
Someone's been getting the capital reports on these states. Apparently they're worth a total of about $33 trillion.
I have no idea.
Between stocks and insurance that they have, $33 trillion doesn't hurt.
You see, I'm trying to save the country.
I understand that.
So I don't get involved in these little side things. I leave that for other people. If that's true, then why are we paying all these taxes?
Well, this is why I called you, trying to solve this for the people, and more people maybe are in front of their state senators, what the hell is going on. The hefty license papers
will
accept every year, everything else.
The way to do that is not to call in and just make a statement, because I don't know if you're telling the truth or not. Give them somewhere they can go and find out the facts. You know where they can go to find out whether this is true or not?
One man called from New Jersey.
No. Do you know? Can you tell us right now a phone number or an address where they can write or call to get this information that you're talking about?
Well, I guess you would use the Freedom of Information Act for how one man got the information from New Jersey.
How do you know he got it?
Well, I'm picking
that
for,
truth.
I know what you're feeling about all
this. Help! Dear God, help. You can't do that. You have to find out if he's telling the truth. So you're passing on something that might be fact, or it might be just another helmet. You need to stop just listening to people. And when you hear somebody make statements like that, find out how you can get verification that it's actually true. And then when you call another station like this one, pass it on to the people how they can also get it.
I'm
going to
use the Freedom of Information Report and try to get ours from the state auditor.
Very good. When you get it, then you can call in and give documentation that people can go and find.
Really good. Thanks a lot, Bill.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4570. I've told you guys a million times that we did a survey one time. We took every file that was sent out over the Patriot Facts Network and that was sent to us in the mail or told to us over the telephone by so-called patriots over a three-month period, and then we investigated every single one of those pieces of paper, every allegation, everything that they said, everything that was facts, and we found out, ladies and gentlemen, that almost 98% of it was all lies. Fraud, bullshit, whatever, lies. Well, you gotta be really careful. I mean, somebody who's taking great pains to keep you chasing your tails with all of this erroneous information so that you will not be looking for the real truth. Good evening, you're on here.
Hello, Bill. This is Dave in South Tropic, Florida.
Dave, how are you? That's your latest edition of the Merchant Seaman's newspaper.
You did. Did you get that bumper sticker?
Yes, I did.
I could only get one of them.
That's okay.
I'll try to get a few more. I'm going to be very quick. That is published in Popular Communications about a month ago, magazine.
What are you talking about?
You wanted the number on that amendment to ban scanners.
You mean the House resolution to ban scanners?
Right, right. I'm a little foggy.
That's okay. Do you know what it is?
I read it, and it's very wishy-washy, and I don't think it will go through at all.
Well, so far, it looks like it's got a lot of support in the House. I don't know whether it will ultimately pass. You can't really tell. A politician will tell you one thing and vote another way.
Right. It takes scanners that are capable of hitting a cellular, but now they're going to digital. And
so it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, well, I look at it this way. It makes it more fun because now we're getting back into Nazi Germany where you're forbidden to have a radio. So you make one out of a razor blade and a pencil lead.
I love how you think, Dave. You just made that connection just so quick.
I used to love it when a captain would refuse to let me run my ham radio on a ship. We'd go underground. You know?
Yep, and that's what people will do here. They can pass all the laws they want to. They'll just put everything underground.
Right. The more they go, the deeper we go.
Yeah.
Just two quick comments. I went, said that these mailboxes on us, they won't accept your UPS.
What?
And you said a couple of months ago, mailboxes are us. They won't accept deliveries for you, like where you can pick up UPS.
No, that's not what I said. I said that the post office changed their regulations, and now you have to present positive identification and proof of where you live in order to open up a private mailbox in a private company place like mailboxes, etc., or mail drop places where you used to be able to get your mail anonymously and have it forwarded to you, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Post office has now created regulations that say that they cannot rent you a mailbox unless you can prove with picture ID absolutely who you are and where you live. And that all has to be on the form so that they can track you down if they want to.
Right. Well, I went in and I talked to them, and they said you don't have to rent a mailbox. If you want your UPS deliveries, they know me. Just have them sent here and make sure you put your phone number.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with what I was talking about. Had nothing to do with UPS.
And there was one other one you brought up that the police can stop and search your car at any time.
That's what they have ruled. It doesn't mean that it's right or that it's lawful or constitutional, but yeah, they're doing it.
They're doing it very carefully down here. And they're cooking up a probable cause. Like they had one cop say over the radio, the man used his left directional signal, then turned right.
Yeah, I know. The police are doing exactly the opposite of what they were hired to do.
Right.
They are now learning how to be liars and lawbreakers themselves, bearing false witness against their neighbor, cooking up things to entrap people.
Right.
And they call themselves supporters of the law. No, they're just Nazi stormtroopers like every other Nazi stormtrooper that ever lived.
Well, I found most of them.
Let me tell you what they did to me one time.
Yeah?
They stopped us and asked if they could search the car. This was before they had the right to do it. I said, no. We didn't broken any law. What's your problem? Well, we want to search your car. I said, well, you can't do it.
Right.
They said, well, we're going to bring a dog up. So they brought a dog up, and they have trained this dog that when he gets to a certain part of the car, he's supposed to bark. And so the dog gets to a certain part of the car and he barks, and then the officer comes to the window and says, the dog has indicated to us that there's drugs in this car. That's probable cause. Now we're going to search it. You have to get out.
Right.
Well, that's before I started carrying a weapon on my hip 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so for the safety of me and my family, I had to do it. But right. Now, if any police officer ever does that to me now, I will tell him, you will search this car at peril of your life because I will defend myself and my property, and I am armed. If you want to draw a weapon and shoot me right here, you're going to have a hell of a time explaining it because there's no drugs in this car. You know what they do then?
Yeah.
They carry these little packets of drugs so that they can plant them if they
right.
want to. But everybody knows me, and they know I don't touch drugs. There's no drugs in this house. There's no drugs in my cars. I've never been involved in drugs in my entire life.
Right.
So they're going to have a hell of a time explaining that. It'll be just cold-blooded murder.
Well, I carry handguns and...
And by the way, if they don't hit me with their first shot, they're dead.
Right.
Because I don't miss.
I carry handguns in my vehicle, in holstered, which is legal. And what I did, I caught him opening my 84 Isuzu pickup truck with jiggler keys. It's about 5 keys.
Well, see, that's against the law.
That's right.
A warrant. They just broke the law. But you see, the police today are selected by a psychological profile that ensures that they're willing to be good little Nazi Gestapo stormtroopers and do whatever they have to do to break the law, to make arrests, to harass their fellow citizens, and all of this crap. It's unbelievable.
Right. Well, I put one area in my truck. I don't want to keep burning up your air time.
Well, then stop.
I took it.
Why do you tell me you don't want to and keep on going?
Well,
obviously, Dave, you want to, so go ahead.
I know, you got to hear this trick. I took a piece of wire, bailing wire, ran it under the seats of the Isuzu on one part, and I hung on wire treble fishing hooks. So if they ever do it again, I'm going to hear this screaming inside a store, and he's going to be a cop with his hand, you know, stuck on the underneath the seat of my car on treble fishing hooks on baling wire.
Good for you. He's got no business with his hand under there in the first place.
And how is he going to explain it? Am I at fault or is he at fault?
Well, they'll try and figure out some way to charge you with assaulting an officer.
Right.
Because that's how stupid they are. That's how they think. Now, bear in mind out there, I know there's a lot of police officers listening to this broadcast. Not all police officers fit into that category. But because they're chosen by this psychological test today, more and more of them do and will until they're all that way, and that's the goal.
That's correct. I agree with you on that.
And the good officers are leaving because they don't like what they're a part of and they don't like what they see. So they leave or retire as quick as they can and get the hell away from it. Because they're like me and you. That disgusts them.
Yeah.
And they know they're not going to get promoted because they're doing the right thing and they won't go along with all this other bullshit.
Yeah. We'll be the first to go, people who do things like that. You know. Well, it's a good... Sorry, you cut down your hair time. You're going broke.
Didn't you have any choice, yeah.
Well, people should send you like a couple of bucks and a letter.
Well, you know, it's not just supporting a family anymore. It's
yeah.
trying to funnel money to a family that's not even here. I don't even know where they're at, and I'm trusting that the money gets to them.
Oh.
Try that stuff sometime.
I just got the latest Siemens newspaper, and I'll put, you know, the usual thing in.
Yeah, and I have to go by all these circuitous routes because the government would love to know where they're at.
Right.
And they're not in this country. They're safe. They're safe.
You got to get your family out. How come?
What do you mean, how come? There's federal warrants for our arrest. Sooner or later, these Nazi Gestapo jackbooted stinking thugs are going to come up here to kill everybody up on top of this hill.
I've been having trouble with the receiver. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever need my help, I have nothing to lose.
Well, I don't either. You see, if they kill me, they give me even more freedom than I love now.
Right.
They don't understand that, you know.
Right.
They don't believe in God, but I do.
No,
I'm not afraid to die, and dying will not hurt me. I'm not, you know, I look forward to my meeting with God. I really do.
Well, I'm just saying, well, you know, my health condition. Well, God bless you, Bill.
God bless you.
And I'll say a prayer for your family. They stay safe.
Thank you.
Okay,
I appreciate that. Goodbye. And thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, and this is WBCQ Monticello, Maine, USA, run by my good friend Alan Weiner. The phones are open, and we're taking calls on any subject you want to talk about. I don't care what it is. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello. I have a book by Ralph Epperson. Oh, I turned down my radio. I have a book by Ralph Epperson called The Unseen Hand.
Yeah.
And you fought in the Vietnam War, correct?
Yes, I did.
He claims on page 400 that the major factor in creating an attitude of rebellion against the establishment, that the major factor was created and controlled by the conspiracy to create the conditions for its plan to succeed. The war was to create first a drug culture in America, and secondly, a young society willing to rebel against the American government. Do you believe those were some of the purposes of the Vietnam War?
No. In fact, the what they call the counterculture of the hippie movement was
drug culture. Yes.
No, it wasn't a drug culture until the CIA bought drugs in and gave them to them. That's where the drugs came from, as part of MK Ultra. In case you haven't studied that, but the so-called counterculture, that what eventually became known as the hippies, were first known as the beatniks long before the war ever started. It was well in operation long before the Vietnam War ever presented itself. So he's wrong about that.
I see. Did the drugs come from heroin? Did it come from Southeast Asia?
Some of it did, yes, but not all of it.
Yeah. Well, what do you believe was the major purpose of the Vietnam War?
I believe the major purpose of the Vietnam War was to seize control of the drugs in the Golden Triangle and the oil in the Gulf of Tonkin, neither one of which worked. We don't have control of either one of those two things now. We lost it. The number one priority of the United States Navy in the Gulf of Tonkin during the Vietnam War was not to support the troops with naval gunfire, but to protect the oil exploration ships in the Gulf of Tonkin. Not too many people know that.
I see. And many on
the... You have to understand that just because it's written in a book does not make it true. Ralph Epperson wrote a great book. The Unseen Hand just blows the lid off of a lot of things that needed to be exposed, but he's wrong about the Vietnam War. That's his opinion.
I see. Well, he documents in there that some of the trucks that came along the Ho Chi Minh Trail, they were built in the Soviet Union at a Ford truck factory that was built by Ford Motor Company. Is that correct?
Yes, under the International Development Fund that was given the funds by William Casey, who eventually went on to head the CIA. Yes, absolutely. It's no secret that the United States and the Soviet Union and Great Britain were operating in collusion ever since the end of World War II. They made these agreements at Winnipeg.
So, one of the purposes of it was also to help industrialists make money. Is that correct?
Help industrialists make money. But the main purpose is to create the facade that there is this great threat in the world, that they have to develop new military machinery, that they have to develop new military tactics, that they have to take great amounts of money in the form of taxes out of the pockets of all of the people in the world in order to fight this great threat. In the Soviet Union, the threat was the United States. In the United States, the threat was the Soviet Union. And using this money and this technology and this technique they created and laid the foundation for the New World Order, one world government. And they created the military and the technological machinery that will be used to control the population of the world once this world government is formed. That's the real reason.
Ralph is also claiming that some of these Soviet nuclear missiles were actually fake.
He's absolutely correct.
That's correct? In other words...
Yes, the whole... And wasn't just the Soviet Union faking things. We faked a lot of things too, such as the Apollo moon missions. The landing was on the moon. They never took place.
Well, does the Soviet Union, did they have any nuclear missiles?
Well, sure they did.
But some of them were fake?
Yes.
But there were actual nuclear missiles pointed at the United States?
Never pointed at the United States. Listen to me very carefully. To make an intercontinental ballistic missile leave its launching pad and hit its target with atomic warheads, you must have the capability to build and operate computers. The Soviet Union in its entire history never had that capability, never even had the capability to manufacture even the most rudimentary computer chip. Never, not once.
So, that was...
The Cold War was a scam, is what I'm telling you.
Well, what was the part of the purpose to build our...
I already told you that.
To build our military industrial...
To build theirs also. To create the technology. And to experiment. And to create wars in third world nations that would keep the population of the world in check. At least reasonably in check, until they can bring together their world government. Now, I know you don't understand any of this right now. I can hear it in your voice. You're struggling for answers.
Well, I know some of this information, and I know you obviously know far more than I do.
Yeah, and you're not going to get educated in 5 minutes phone call on this radio broadcast. You have to listen. You have to study. If you can afford it, order the back tapes of the broadcast, the hour at a time, because we've covered all this material in great depth over the years.
Yeah, Ralph, I asked Ralph Everson one time, I asked him, why haven't they killed you? And he said, because I haven't reached a million yet.
Well, what's the deal with millions? They haven't killed him because he's not a political threat. I became a political threat. That's why they had to institute investigations on me and ultimately bring down indictments and issue warrants against me and my wife. President Clinton called me the most dangerous radio host in America. They're not going to kill anybody. They're not going to go after anybody unless you are a real threat to their existence and to their plans. And so far, in this decade, I'm the only one who's reached that distinction. When the President of the United States calls you the most dangerous anything in America, you have reached that level.
I think they regard Tex Mars as a threat also, do they not?
Absolutely not. Never made any movements to stop him.
Would you consider his material credible?
Some of it.
Well... I think I'll let someone else talk for a while.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Appreciate your call.
Bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. I think the world checks Mars. But I think he tends to put too much faith in prophecy. Bring me on the air.
Hey, Billy, I got something from your traditional Catholic end of things. I got a little joke for you. Supposedly, John Paul II had a vision, I guess. And I guess in his vision, he asked God, well, when will women be able to become priests? And God said, well, not in your lifetime. And so he asked, are we going to ever have another Polish pope? And you know what God said? Not in my lifetime.
Well, he's got one.
Well, he's not the Pope. Come on now.
Yeah, he thinks he is.
Well, he may think so, but, you know, I think he's got another thing coming. But I guess things in the Vatican are picking up a little more. I ran into a friend, not really a friend, but a friend of a cousin of mine out east, and he knew a professor at a university out here, I won't mention where, but this gentleman had done work for MI6, MI5, had worked extensively with RCIA, and it just so happens that it works out that he works for the Vatican as well. How about that?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all. It's one of the hallmarks of a good intelligence or agency is that they manage to penetrate everything that needs to be penetrated.
Well, do you see it as penetrating the Vatican, or do you see it as the Vatican being in cahoots with them?
Well, I see it more as over the years, the Vatican is not what it used to be. It is serving an entirely other function at this time. It's been infiltrated and it's now being controlled. That's what I see.
Well, I agree with that 100%. But I mean, my point is they're not fighting this quote unquote infiltration by MI6 or whoever it is. I don't know.
Well, it depends upon what's in their best interest. If they know that they're being infiltrated by somebody that would not be operating in their best interest or whom they could not work with, then they would fight it. Yes.
And I'm not too familiar with what resources the Vatican has in terms of security, say, counter-espionage. Is it just, some sort of wing of the Swiss Guard, or?
Are you kidding me? Every Catholic in the world goes to confession. It's the biggest spy network in the world.
Oh, you think so?
I know so. Why do you think?
How do you know so?
What do you mean, I don't? How do I know so?
You're convinced that these priests are in some sort of network to, keep the Vatican informed or something?
Is it something that the Vatican needs to know about? Yes, without giving the name of the person who confided in them, I am sure that every little single piece of important information finds its way to the right ears every single day.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
I got a tough time believing that, Bill.
Oh, really? Why do you think?
If the person was a legitimate Catholic priest, I'm not talking about these kooks that have been out, since the new rite of ordination came out in 69. I'm talking about a legitimate priest. I would have a difficult time that he's, and then mind you, we probably have a tough time finding 10 legitimate priests in the whole United States, I believe that.
You said it, not me.
Yeah. So
thanks for making my point.
Well, I'm just asking you, though. You think,
I just told you. Their only prohibition is not to divulge the conversation that was given to them in the confessional. They don't have to tell anybody where it came from, and they don't have to mention the name or the identity of the person who told them, and they don't have to recite the exact conversation. But I guarantee you, anything that is of great interest to the Catholic Church and the Vatican that comes through that confessional is going to be reported to Rome. One way or another.
I don't know, Bill. I don't know. That's reaching out there, I think.
That's not reaching out there at all. Where's their greatest loyalty?
Well, it should be to God.
No, but it's not, is it? It's to the Church always.
Well, the Church is the Church is God.
Not only that, but who is God on earth?
There is no God on earth.
According to the Pope, it's him.
Well, is this guy the Pope? That's a bigger question. Anyway, Bill,
if he believes he is, and if all the priests that are working under him believe that he is, then he is to them. Well, doesn't matter what you think.
Reasonable enough, Bill.
Okay.
Take care.
I think the Catholic Church was very smart in setting up the institution of confession. Many, 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 many centuries ago. And I believe it was set up to operate as an intelligence gathering operation. And I think that's exactly the function that it performs. And I think also there are many priests who will not violate the confessional.
I also think that there are many ambitious priests who will not hesitate in a second.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. The guy is on here, your children, a little while ago about these expenditures or things from these states. It's a comprehensive annual financial report is what he's referring to.
Okay.
And I sent the taxes in. I live here in Central Ohio. And I got their report. My God, it's an inch thick. But they had something like $5 trillion in these investment incomes. And I'm looking one here from my county for 97 and $1,640,000. Or just the county they put in investment income.
Yeah, they're still charging you taxes, aren't
they? Oh, yeah. They said there in Texas that if they never paid any more taxes, the income off the investments would take care of all the governmental stuff.
Now, let me ask you another question.
Mm-hmm.
If they're charging you taxes, and if you look around and all you can see that the state is spending money on, is equal to what the citizens' taxes are paying for, and they make that balance on some kind of a balance sheet, what are they using this secret money for?
They bought up, I think in GE, they own the principal amount of stock.
But what are they using that money for? Because GE pays dividends. They're making money on this stuff.
Sure.
Where is it going? What are they doing with it?
It's going into this fund. And as far as I can see, it just stays there, and they can control a certain amount of the economy by, you know, letting some of these investments go, I imagine.
Yeah, they can also control the stock market.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, that's what the whole thing is.
What if one of these days all these government investments are sold in one day?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No one knew anything about them, except the ones buying and selling.
How about that?
And I know I asked, I was in the courthouse and seeing about my taxes or something, and I said, how about, can I get a copy of this annual report? And the gal looked at me like I'd, well, like what you said, right on her plate. And he said, why would anyone want one of them reports? I said, I just want to see what's going on. So it's something that most people don't even know nothing about. And I didn't either until I read that report. I believe it was in the Spotlight or one of those magazines. And so I thought, well, I want to find out. So I just called in to Texas to answer that.
The truth is, nobody in this nation needs to be paying taxes, period.
That's right.
And we don't need a national sales tax or flat tax or anything to take the place of the illegal, unconstitutional, unlawful, Nazi jackbooted, thug, tyrannical income tax.
That's right. So, well, you got a good show tonight.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Bill.
Unfortunately, it's over.
Pardon?
I said, unfortunately, it's over.
Yeah, I just picked you up. I have a hard time getting you at times, and it comes in like on a sideband, I believe, and it's just all jarbled.
Mm-hmm.
So, you take care.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Boy, that just about... We may have time for maybe one more call. If you get it in here, you know, reasonable call, we can take one more. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, as far as these scanner laws, this is basically Congress, what I call a parliament of whores.
Good description.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. These guys take tax money from special interests, and anybody else, it's screwed. And if you want to listen to your scanner, I just can't believe that they can actually tell you that you can't. I mean, this
well, they can't. The truth is, the Constitution does not give them the authority to tell me what I can listen to within the physical territorial boundaries of the state of Arizona. They have no jurisdiction here whatsoever. No authority whatsoever.
And it goes back, too, to the Communications Act of 34, doesn't it?
Didn't that give everybody the right to listen to whatever they wanted to?
Well, I think you better read it. it also created a lot of licenses and all kinds of other things.
But the fact is, I mean, it's discouraging for a scanner owner to
be made a criminal because he just simply turned on his radio.
Are you kidding?
They're making laws to go that everybody in this nation is a criminal, commits a criminal act several times a day, whether they know it or not.
Unbelievable. Mr. Cooper, what do you think about Low Power FM?
I think it's great. I'm broadcasting on it right now to 7,500 people and have been doing it for years.
And the sad fact is the NAB has a lot of lobbyists who are paying hordes right now a lot of money to supposedly these 1 or 10 or...
Yeah, but we're out of time.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
You need to call another night and make that point because it's a good one. And I'm sure everybody will want to hear. Well, folks, that's it for another episode of The Hour of the Time. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. And my dear family, Annie, Allison, and Pooh, wherever you're at, God bless you. I love you. We miss you more than words can say. May God protect you and watch over you always.
I saw you and got that old feeling when you came. I got that old feeling. The moment that you danced by, I felt a
WDCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA.